You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 67, Creating Your Homeschool Vision.
This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be.
Hello!
Hey guys, welcome back. We're at episode 67 today, Creating Your Homeschool Vision.
As promised, if you listened to last week's episode, This was our first tip of planning your homeschool year, is first creating the vision.
What does that mean?
Who knows? I'm just kidding. I totally know. And I talk a lot about this in my homeschool, in my membership as well, is that if you don't have an aim, then you have nothing you're striving for.
Yeah.
And if you think about this with sports, people pay thousands and hundreds of dollars to go see sporting events, mm-hmm. right? And all you are there is wanting to see somebody put a ball in a hoop or a ball like past the end zone or
in a net.
In a net and all these things, right? Like people love seeing other people have a target and then achieving it. And so the people who become successful with that have worked very hard with having like, this is my aim and I do it and it's impressive. So having an aim is the vision in your homeschool. So you know what path you want to be on and what it is you actually want to be creating.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is the result you want from your homeschooling experience? Like, what do you want your kids to come out as at the end? Like, you know, what's your end goal?
Well, I think it puts you on a right path too of saying like, this doesn't fit with the vision or what's working with our family, right? So if you're like, I want a lot of family togetherness time. And then kids start signing up for all these things that like, well, this is actually getting us off course.
Yeah.
We're gonna simplify our schedule. We're gonna start cutting things out. Or if your vision is like, I want our kids to be like thrown in all these activities, then sign them up for all these activities.
Yeah. That just reminds me, one of my main things that I love about homeschooling is that I can choose to have a slower paced life.
Yeah.
And I intentionally choose that and intentionally choose to not sign my kids up for a ton of stuff because I want a slower paced life for my family and more togetherness.
Yes. And to build less running around relationships. Yes. And my one daughter always says like, that's the one thing I'm going to do way different than you is I'm going to put my kids in so many events. And my sister
always said that about our family because we were in a really big family with not a ton of money. And so we didn't really do a lot of extra activities. And she does do that for her kids
does she?
Now. She has her kids in everything imaginable. And her life is complete craziness.
Does she like it?
I think she does.
Okay.
I think she does. And she feels like she's giving her kids everything she didn't get. Mm. And so that makes her happy. And it's her style and her lifestyle. But I look at that and how she never has time to communicate with family because she's too busy and she never can come to a family dinner. Like her life is so busy that we never see her.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the trade-off. You just have to choose. Anyway.
You know what's interesting about that too is I was speaking to somebody the other day and their kids have all graduated now. Mm-hmm. And they were way into a ton of activities. And the mom was like way involved, like always helping with, I don't know the names, like with a dinner, with a banquet, mm-hmm. with like rah-rah sections to everything. And now her kids have left and she's super depressed because she didn't spend any time cultivating her own habits and interests.
Oh, interesting.
So she was putting so much time and energy into her children that now that they're gone, she doesn't know what to do with herself.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to be that way too.
Dude, that's what I'm hoping, like with my membership and all that type of stuff.
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, what am I going to do with my time when my kids are gone? Because that's my life right now.
Triathlons.
Oh, cool.
You're going to see me doing a finish.
Maybe you can talk me into one.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, back to our topic. Sorry.
Well, and I think another reason too is because you're going to have bad days. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have a day when your kid's like, this is stupid and I hate homeschool. But if you know what it is you're trying to create and like what the aim is and the purpose, like your kid's saying that's just a bump in the road. It's just a pothole. And if you hit the pothole, it doesn't mean you throw your car away.
Right.
Like it's like, oh, maybe I need to fix a tire or maybe the tire is okay and I keep going. Mm-hmm. And so having that vision and aim is going to help you get through the bad days, keeps you on course and all these awesome things. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this when I don't think you did either, but when I started, I didn't have a vision.
No, I didn't either. I mean, not really. No.
Yeah.
I had a reason for choosing to do it, but it wasn't really like, this is my vision and goal necessarily. For my son, I wanted to retain his love of learning. Mm-hmm. That was a big, important thing for me. And so that's kind of been part of my vision all along, is helping my kids develop a love of learning and a desire to want to keep learning. And that's something I have and have always had anyways. And so that was part of my vision and continues to be. But my vision has definitely expanded and grown over the years, because I've learned more about things that are important and seen the results of things that we've done and understand more, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because I just had, like, I never wanted to homeschool, though that's for weird mm-hmm. people, right? Mm-hmm. And, but I had such a strong feeling, like, this is the right path for me. So I jumped in and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But
just like all of us, yeah. right? That's what we all do our first year. I don't know what I'm doing.
First
jump on
years.
In. Uh-huh. First five.
But, like, I was really embarrassed to be a homeschooler.
I was too. Yes. I remember being at a doctor's appointment one time with one of my kids, and they always ask, how's school? Do you like your teacher?
She's the best.
And my kids would always just look at me with big eyes, like, what am I supposed to say? And I would be like, I don't know if I want to tell them. Like, for the first year or two, I felt that way. And even with, you know, friends in our church and stuff that would ask me, I would just be like, oh, we're homeschooling, and just change the subject, because I was kind of embarrassed about it. Not anymore, obviously. Hey,
no,
I've got my own YouTube channel about it. But sometimes it's scary and it feels weird and it's hard to talk about at the beginning.
Well, and a lot of my homeschool in the beginning, and I don't have a problem with what I was teaching my kids. It was why I was teaching it to them, mm-hmm. but it was to impress other people.
Yeah.
So when they would say, what did you learn? I would say, my children know all the states and all their capitals in alphabetical order. Do your mm-hmm. children know that? They know all the presidents in chronological order.
My son knows all the countries in Africa, and he's only four.
Yes. Like, my child can read. And so, like, they was teaching them cool things, mm-hmm. but my reason behind it was so when somebody else said something, I could be like, no, I'm good and I'm amazing and my children are superstars.
Right.
And so it wasn't until I got more comfortable and owning that I homeschooled that I then really started to create a vision. Mm-hmm. And so you did it a lot sooner than I did. I had to work through some stuff, I guess.
No, I think that that's actually a really normal thing, that I felt a little bit of that pressure of trying to live up to the am I homeschooling well enough, mm-hmm. because I had some outside sources that didn't necessarily agree with my choice. And so I worked really hard to make sure that my kids were learning really well and they were on task and they were at or above their peers' level, because I wanted to make sure that other people saw that happening too. So I actually really think that that's a normal thing because of outside pressures that we can receive as homeschoolers.
Yes. So the more
that is not the end goal. Right?
No.
We want you to know that. Sorry, we're rambling a lot today, but
it's okay. There's chaos everywhere you go. So why not here too? No, but as I, like, the more I get into this and the more I coach, like, and people are like, oh, they have to know all these things. And I think, no.
Not all at once either.
Well, no. And I think sometimes, like, you'll have a client who's in her 30s or even in her 40s or maybe 20s. And I think you're learning this now. Mm-hmm. Why does your 9-year-old need to know it now? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, giving them some slack. But it's so much more about relationships and teaching your kids habits and skills and all these wonderful things that I realize they can always learn stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we have the internet. We have, I mean, just the internet alone, audiobooks. You can listen to anything while you're driving or traveling or biking, running, right?
Yeah.
Like, we have the opportunity to always be learning. There's no scarcity of knowledge. And right. So what's at the end of the day, like, I crammed all this stuff into my kid's head, but we can't stand each other. And my house was always chaotic.
And they'll forget it all tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because it was too much. No, I think that's so true, that it's really about, you know, what kind of atmosphere are you creating in your home and what kind of relationships are you building with your family? What morals and principles are you instilling in them? And yes, the education is important too. We're not in any way saying that it's not. I strongly believe that these things are just as important, but it's not going to all happen as a kindergartner, and it's not going to all happen in 1 year. You have to realize that, you know, they're going to learn it just by building a little bit at a time, and doing a 10-minute lesson is just okay. You don't have to spend an hour and a half on, you know, one history lesson.
Well, and that's part. So part of my vision is cultivating the love for learning. Mm-hmm. And so that instead of me just saying, read this, now regurgitate it to me, is, Mom, I read this. Guess what?
Yeah.
And to me, that's much more exciting. And part, oh, what's funny about that?
No, it's not. It just reminded me of something one of my kids did this week.
What did they do?
So my kids are reading the books, The Tuttle Twins.
Okay.
I just bought the whole set on their 4th of July sale.
Yeah.
And I had the first couple, but they just, for some reason, weren't interested before. But now they're devouring them all. And one of them is called The Road to Serfdom.
Yeah.
And my husband bought the actual book, The Road to Serfdom, by, I'm forgetting the actual author. And it's like a bigger book. And my Elsie said, when did you get that book? I'm like, oh, Dad bought it this week. And she was so excited because she had just read the Tuttle Twins version of it and knew all about it. And she said, he referenced this book. And he said that every time he writes a book, he writes it based on some other topic that is already out there. And so she was so excited to learn about serfdom.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of cute to me. Sorry, that just...
No, that's one of my kids did that. The Porter, who loves economics, when he read the Tuttle Twins, mm-hmm. The Creature from Jekyll Island,
yeah,
he went and read the real book. And it was really good scaffolding because the real book is really meaty.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that, but I didn't, it wasn't a part of a school, mm-hmm. like to go read this book. And so.
But that's what a love of learning is. It's when a child reads something and they're so excited about it that they want to learn more just on their own, not because you gave them an assignment, but because they're interested in it.
Yeah.
And so that's our, both of us have that goal for our homeschools. That's one of our visions for what we want our children to achieve in our homeschool.
Another huge one for me is our dynamic and our relationships of our family. Mm-hmm. I've read so many things about teens are awful, surviving the teen years, like they're just the worst. And I thought, I'm so defiant that I'm like, no, it's not going to be for me. And so that's like a huge part of ours is working on those relationships. Mm-hmm. And I do that. If you've seen, we've done a whole episode on levels of liberty. Yeah. But that's a huge part of our homeschool is learning how to really cultivate these relationships, mm-hmm. and kind of weeding things out that aren't serving our family, or name calling, or something just mm-hmm. that you're is bringing animosity into our home instead of peace and content and contentment, not contention.
Instead of peace. Bringing in animosity instead of peace.
Did I say it wrong?
Oh. Yeah, it's okay. We know what you meant.
Thank you.
Yes.
So that's a huge thing.
That's a huge thing for me also. A big thing for me is faith. I love that I can bring our faith principles into the things that we're learning because that's a big part of our family culture. Mm-hmm. And so I love that when we study history, we can bring in principles of faith from the Bible and look at, you know, correlating time periods and things like that. And it's really special to be able to have those kinds of lessons with my kids. I also think it's really important to teach kids to be good people, just good people in general. Like you turn on the news right now and you feel like there aren't any of them left. And
seriously.
And so that's a really important thing right now that I'm cultivating, trying to cultivate in my kids is learn how to show kindness, how to speak with respect, serving others just because, being good citizens and good neighbors.
I love to, in changing it from somebody should do something about that to I should do something about that. Mm. And so I think there's a cute lady, if you have studied Lemmy stuff, it's to Thomas Jefferson Education. I went to one of their training things and she did it with toilet paper because it's like somebody should refill the toilet paper. Mm. And instead it was, so something small in the house is I should refill the toilet paper. Like somebody should wash the dishes. I should wash the dishes. So if you want change, be the change. Mm-hmm. Instead of somebody else should take care of this.
Right. And that's a very much a learned skill that we need to teach kids and hopefully they're getting.
Yes. So I think we've
it's
done
a hard one, I think,
another episode about femcises. But this is a big one for me of teaching my kids life skills. Because I feel like maybe because of social media, you can see all these kids who are 18, 20, 22, and they don't want to move out of the house. They don't know how to move out of the house. Mm-hmm. They don't know, like, what's
how to have a job to afford to move out of the house.
Yes. So I talked to a teen. Well, I guess she's not really a teen anymore. So a young 20-year-old the other day, and she wanted to move out. And she was like, yeah, but apparently I have bad credit. And I go, you have bad credit or no credit? And she goes, what does that mean? And I was like, oh, okay. So like, let's talk about that, of what credit is and why you need it. And
so just a quick little side note, Megan said FEMPSIS, if you were wondering what double she S. said there. It's a little acronym she's put together for goals that she sets for her kids. And we did do a whole episode on that, on goal setting.
And I thought we did, but it's financial, I'm sure we did, yeah. Emotional, mental, physical, social, which is really service as well, and spiritual.
Yes.
So within those six categories, like, I want my children to be independent with all of those things. So knowing what credit is and why you need it. Mm-hmm. And my oldest, we had him get a credit card. I think it's like a $500 credit card. Mm-hmm. And he uses it. He doesn't spend a ton of money, but if he uses it, then he needs to pay it off each month. So he's building his credit. Mm-hmm. And so just little simple things like that, like my banking account and
right,
like, how do I provide for myself and take care of these things?
So these kinds of things might not feel like homeschool goals necessarily, mm-hmm. but these are things that are taught within your home as you're also schooling. You know, yeah. these are life skills, and sometimes life skills matter more than the books that they've read, even.
Or like a theory in math.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't even think of one.
Oh, my sweet 13-year-old is... She struggles with math. She hates math, uh-huh. and got it from me because it's always been my struggle too. And she was complaining about algebra the other day. And why do I need to even ever learn that? And I was like, I don't know. It's just like a part of life. Like, it's just something you have to go through to live your life. Like, I don't use algebra. I'll be honest. I mean, there's little things
you
here
do,
and there.
But you don't realize it.
I know, yeah. It's true. But it's one of those like just rites of passages that you just all get to do, right? and she didn't like that answer very much.
Yeah.
But I know. Sorry. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that these life skills are just as important as the educational principles that you're teaching your kids.
Yeah. Well, so like my little FEMPSIS is a part of our homeschool. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's part of our family culture. And then also our homeschool. So they're reading a book on finances or economics. They are reading books on their emotions or their mental, like being able to push through when things are hard, how to solve problems. Physical, that's a huge part for our family culture of we've done triathlons together, we run together, we do CrossFit together, right? Mm-hmm. So creating that culture of health. Social, giving my kids actual social skills and reading books on that and reading books on service and actually doing service projects together. It's actually fun. I know I talk about my husband going to Africa all the time. I guess I should have him on here about it. But part of that is he has set up a nonprofit to bless the people's lives in Africa. And so my kids get to be a part of that, those service projects with that. And that, and then spiritually, like we're reading scriptures and religious right. books. And like Karen said, not having to separate faith.
Yeah.
Like, okay, faith is on Sunday and the rest of the week, God can go to sleep. Mm-hmm. But like, no, faith is all of this.
It's always. Yeah. And also, you know, one of my, on my list of my vision is teaching my kids to be hardworking and mm-hmm. independent. And that is learned in so many ways besides just writing a research paper.
Yeah.
You know, she's talking about all these service projects and different things that we both try to incorporate into our children's lives. And hard work is a value that they're going to take with them their entire life.
And being able to push through when things are hard.
Yeah. And developing independence, I think, is huge. When you think of the first year away from home and all the skills that they're going to need to know how to do, you know, financial skills and cooking and, you know, all these different things that they're going to have to figure out for themselves. I remember the first time my car broke down when I was in college. And my parents were in Florida and I was in Idaho and I called my dad and I was like, Dad, my car won't start. He's like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I don't know. What should I do? And he just laughed at me and he was like, sweetie, you're going to have to learn how to figure this thing out for yourself. Well, and I remember it was just like a really big lesson for me to realize, oh, I'm on my own. And now I need to learn how to do something, you know, well, something hard.
Our friend's oldest daughter just left the house. And she goes, it was almost another nesting period. Like right before you have a baby, mm-hmm. you're right. You're like, is this ready? Is this ready? Is this ready? But before her daughter moved out, she goes, have I taught her this? Have I taught her this? Does she know how to do her laundry? Does she know how to cook?
And she was saying this to her daughter. And her daughter's like, Mom, it's going to be okay.
Like, I've got this.
Yeah.
And so it was neat to see. And her daughter totally has it.
She does. She's a great girl.
Yes.
She's so neat.
And she's, I feel more worried for our friend than her daughter.
Yeah.
No, because she's just such a big help. And her mom's done a great job at teaching her to be the independent, teaching her to figure things out. And so I think about that. So think about your cute daughter with math, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she's learning how to push through something hard.
Yeah.
So maybe she's thinking, I'll never use algebra. But no, maybe you won't. Maybe you will, but maybe you won't. And maybe it's this, you just know how to push through when things are hard.
Right.
You know how to problem solve. So although it's math, like, now you'll be able to take this skill into something else into your life.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. Another I have on my list here is self-confidence and self-worth. And I think that that's a really important thing that you can teach your children in your home, especially, that is hard to learn outside of your home.
Well, I think that's what's so, I don't, it's Dr. Neufeld, why children need parents more than peers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing this more and more, with different teens that I help with their moms, right? And they have become so dependent upon peers
mm-hmm.
for their self-esteem, for their self-worth, for their value,
mm-hmm.
instead of a safe place for mom and dad. And so that's like, yes, like, mom and dad are a great place to learn. Like, mm-hmm. I love you. You can figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
You're capable. You're this amazing
smart.
Person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really important thing to help your kids develop in your home. And I think about it often with the words that I choose when I say things to my kids, when I want to be critical
mm-hmm.
and instead, oh, thank you for doing those dishes.
Instead of, even, you did a terrible job.
Yeah, even though that pot's not clean, you know, or whatever, just choosing your words carefully to help them to gain that confidence and
work
on their
themselves. I actually talked about this in my last group coaching call as, you know, like, my friends, when I'm with a friend, they don't want to be coached, right? It's not like, oh, hey, let me tell you what you could do better. But I was listening to some friends talk about struggling with some teens. And so I was, you know, I'm listening and like, oh, I'm so sorry, right? Like, that's how a friend talks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched the teen come in and the mom ripped her apart. Like, you're so dumb. Why do you always do this? You're such a difficult little stinker. And I thought, oh, this is why your daughter is pulling away from you. This mm-hmm. is why you guys are struggling so much. And so, yes, the power of your words can create a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. Like, you're really great at figuring things out
mm-hmm.
versus like, oh my gosh, can you not do anything? Like, that's going to build the
right.
Somebody who's independent and confident and all those things.
Yeah. So this is a lot about values that we think are important, but the values that are important to you are what are going to create your culture and your vision of your homeschool. And when you think about, you know, go through this list of like, what matters to you and your family, what skills and values do you want your children to come out with at the other end when they graduate and leave home, and what kind of people do you want them to be? And that's how you start forming this vision for your homeschool. Yes, it's about curriculum and the style of books and the things that you're reading as well. But I feel like even more, it's about your family culture.
Yeah. And so I think this is Alice in Wonderland. If like, what road, what, how does that go? I'm going to say it wrong.
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying, and I'm not going to say it right either. But,
okay, the gist is...
It doesn't matter which road you take when you don't know where you're going.
Yes, like, what road should I take? Well, where do you want to
go?
I don't know. Then it doesn't matter what road you take.
Mm-hmm.
So as you have that aim and that vision, then you know which road it is to take. This keeps our family on the path where I want us to be. This takes our family off the path. So having that vision really helps you create the path of what it is you want to create. So be intentional with where it is you want to go with your children, and you can use homeschool to be a huge part of that road that gets you there.
Yes. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We hope this was helpful for you.
Yeah. Have fun creating your visions.
We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.